20,000. That's how many people the World Health Organization predicts will be infected with Ebola in the next 6 to 9 months. 3,000 people are known to have already come down with the deadly virus. About half of them have died. One of the epicenters of Ebola is the West African country of Liberia. In the densely populated capital of Monrovia, a major concern is how corpses are handled. They're highly infectious. Every day, specially trained teams go out to collect the bodies, and they're not able to keep up with the demand. NPR's Nurit Eisenman went out with one of those teams.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
The body collectors pull up to their first stop of the day. It's a dirt lot at the edge of a steep hill overlooking a river. They've come to collect the corpse of a woman who died in a house at the bottom. Her name was Rachel Wille. The men change out of jeans and sneakers into surgical scrubs and rubber boots. They're one of four teams doing this work in Monrovia, with funding from the International Federation of the Red Cross.
I have my surgical glove, I can see. I have my heavy-duty glove. I have my goggle.
Alexander Nianti is pulling on his surgical gloves and gathering his goggles. He used to be a student studying economics at a local college, but the college has been closed, along with every other school here, because of the Ebola outbreak. Nianti's 23, slender and soft-spoken. He looks a little nervous at the thought of going into Willa's house.
I don't feel fun, but I have to go there. I must go there.
A few feet away, Sori Fofana is more nonchalant. He's the creative one.
Oh, I was an artist. T-shirt.
People used to pay him to put his designs on their T-shirts, but this job pays better. He's 21, lanky and laid back. Still, he says, every morning he has to steel himself to go out.
When I wake up in the morning, I would pray to God to give me strength and focus.
Mark Corvallon is the team's leader. He's a longtime employee of the Ministry of Health and a father figure to the crew.
I'm the head of the team, the burial team, personally.
The men gather up their gear and begin the slow climb down the hillside, picking their way carefully over rocks strewn with trash and drying laundry. At the base of the hill, they walk past cement block homes at the river's edge. People stream out of the doorways. The whole neighborhood is turning out to watch this. Willa's husband was the doctor at the local clinic. That's also where the family lived. He came down with Ebola earlier this month and died a few days ago. Willa got sick soon after. She died yesterday afternoon. Willa's children stand to one side. They hug their arms to their chest and hang their heads. The eldest, Larry Willa, is 22.
She was vomiting. She's here. She just eating weak.
As he describes his mother's symptoms, Corvallon marches up to warn Larry Willa that he and his brothers and sister absolutely must get tested. If they touched their mother while she was sick, there's a good chance they've been infected too.
You say not touch your mother? Yeah, who touch her? The person I touch her need to report said to the center.
Willa's kids stare back at Corvallon in mute horror. Finally, Larry, the eldest, speaks up. He mumbles that their health is fine. Their problem is a different one. In the space of a few days, they've become orphans.
We don't have father, we don't have mother.
The team begins putting on their last layer of protective gear. They unfurl white plastic jumpsuits and pull them on. Next come the face masks and goggles. They tape their sleeves shut with meticulous care and check each other for exposed skin. Their life depends on getting this right. The corpse of a person who dies of Ebola is extremely dangerous. It leaks bodily fluids loaded with the virus. Anyone who comes into contact with those fluids can become infected. Their last defense is a prayer. The men gather in a circle and touch hands.
God, Father, I want to tell you thank you. As you are going in, may you be the guardian, may you be the protector.
God, our Father, as we are going in, may you be the protector, Corvallon says. We will take the precautionary measures, but may you seal us with your Holy Spirit and with your angels.
Amen.
Corvallon claps his hands to signal it's time to go in. The men walk into the house slowly, single file, and head into a bedroom. They emerge a few minutes later. They've packed Willa in an army green body bag and drag it across the floor. They pause at the door and discuss the best way to lift up the body safely, and then proceed out of the house. As they carry Willa past the crowd, several women begin wailing. The cries swell to a chorus. Willa was beloved in this neighborhood. This is the closest thing she'll get to a funeral. The hike back up the hill is excruciating. At the top, the men stop under a tree and collapse against it. Corbayan says the state of Willa's corpse was unnerving.
Well, when I saw the body, my skin creeped.
He says they found Willa lying on a bed, blood leaking from her mouth.
Her nose, I saw wet saliva. Very wet saliva, wet. But her mouth, she was leaking with blood.
The men carry Willa's body over to a long flatbed truck. They heave it in and drag it to the back. Now comes the most dangerous part, getting out of their protective suits. They arch their backs and contort their limbs in an awkward shimmy to avoid touching the outside. Then they spray each suit with disinfectant solution and place it in a trash bag. The men are paid for this work, $1,000 a month, generous by Liberian standards. But their families do not want them doing it. Nianti, the economics student, says his parents won't even let him stay in the house. They're worried he's going to infect them all. Fofana's parents have begged him to quit.
My mom and dad would never want me to do this job. But I feared I could do it to save my nation.
Like the other men, Fofana says that what started out as just a job, a way to earn a living, has become a calling. He's seeing firsthand how crucial this work is to stopping Ebola's spread. He knows the risks, but he says someone's got to do it for the country.
I'm going to save my country. If I die, I die for my country.
The men close up the back of the truck. They've got six more bodies to pick up today, and after that, a long drive to the crematorium. Tomorrow, they'll do it all over again. Corbayan says he can't even guess how many bodies he's collected since he started this work.
I cannot get specific now, but I have gone far. I have picked up enough.
I have gone far, he says, and picked up enough. Nurit Eisenman, NPR News, Monrovia.
Our story was produced by Nicole Beemsterboer in Monrovia. And you can see a video of the body collectors doing this dangerous work at npr.org.